A U.S. judge in California has ruled that authorities can't force people to unlock mobile devices with biometric information. Professor Buzz Scherer joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Buzz, what case is this centered around?
It's a case in which the issue was they were looking for, they were using facial technology to scan the face of the individual so they could open that person's iPhone, I think it was. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about the case requires an explanation of kind of the status of the law.
Yeah, because there's a lot has gone on over the last few years with regards to how people can access mobile devices.
Right.
That are protected.
In terms of what the standard interpretation of law in this area flows from an understanding of the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
Can you be forced to incriminate yourself? Can you be forced, more accurately, can you be compelled to give testimony against yourself? That's what the prohibition is. It says you cannot be compelled to give testimony against yourself. The issue has long been on the table, what counts as testimony? There's an old in terms of 1960s U.S. Supreme Court case, Schmerber versus California, which says that giving blood or the police taking blood from you is not compelling testimony from you because blood doesn't count as testimony. And so that said, there's subsequent cases to Schmerber and a host of other cases that say telling the police what your password is compelling testimony, forcing somebody to, through words coming out of their mouth, to say what their password is, or in writing, that's compelling testimony. So as technology develops, the question is a thumbprint, is an iris scan, is facial technology, is that in the class of get words coming out of your mouth and therefore testimonial, or is it kind of physical evidence like blood and not testimonial?
Yeah, because you figure you got a mobile device, especially any modern phone from the last 5 to 10 years even. It's got your location at all times. It's got anything you've communicated with anyone on basically any social media platform, messaging platform, your voicemails. It's got basically any form of communication you would have had with any other person that you didn't physically meet face to face.
And independent of this, there's a body of law recently developed that says when the police want to search your cell phone, they need to get a search warrant to get into your cell phone, to open your cell phone up. So there's that piece of this puzzle too. But the issue here is whether facial technology or iris scan or thumbprint is physical evidence or testimonial evidence. Generally speaking, the cases up until before this case said that it's physical evidence, it's not testimonial. So this case is unusual in that one court said it counts as testimonial.
Does the judge expect the authorities to go to the data providers like Google and such to get the data instead of going through the device?
They could get a search warrant and then go to the data provider and get the information that way. That would be fine. If they got a search warrant supported by probable cause. I mean, that's what they did in a prior circumstance. We talked about the Alexa case. You know, they got effectively a search warrant, an order from the court supported by probable cause, ordering Amazon to produce their recordings in the Amazon cloud. So they could do that, but this is, shall we say, this is more easy, is easier
it's
and more
a lot
efficient.
Easier.
So it's unclear what's going to come of this case. It's one federal district court case, a judge. It may be a trend. It may not be a trend. But let me pose in an area of my particular interest another version of this, which I think is a closer call. What about if the police want to get DNA evidence from you? so that they can produce a genetic profile or your genetic predispositions at a particular location. Is the wealth of information that is in your DNA so identifying and so personal and so powerful that it should count as testimony, even though it feels like it's just blood? I think that is the tougher question. You know, the fingerprint, a facial scan, an iris scan, that's all just acquiring physical attributes. But when you acquire the wealth of information that is in one's DNA, there's an argument to be made that it's more than just physical attributes. It tells you more about somebody's identity than does a fingerprint or an iris scan.
Magistrate Judge Candace Westmore actually said this in, I don't know if it's in her decision or just in one of her remarks, but she said, quote, "If a person cannot be compelled to provide a passcode because it is testimonial communication, a person cannot be compelled to provide one's finger, thumb, iris, face, or other biometric feature to unlock that same device. The undersigned finds that a biometric feature is analogous to the 20 nonverbal physiological responses elicited during a polygraph test, which are used to determine guilt or innocence and therefore considered testimonial."
Yeah, it's unclear whether they are as it's as certain as she said. There's a line in the Schmerber case going back to the early 60s that says clearly blood is not testimonial. It's an open question whether measuring physiological responses is testimonial or not. Schmerber left that open. And it's, you know, I think she over assumes a lot in her statement. That's not to necessarily disagree with her. I think it's a much more interesting question than courts have let it be historically. That said, it's if one ties what one can acquire with that those physical attributes like your thumbprint or your iris scan, it strikes me as maybe we should lend it the kind of protection under the Fifth Amendment we lend words coming out of your mouth. By the same token, you know, it's just a fingerprint is just like blood, and it is physical material that you are drawing conclusions about somebody. You are not telling them anything by that physical material that goes to compromises who you are as a human being. You're not being forced to compromise yourself as a human being by giving your fingerprint. That's very much true when you're being forced to give words out of your mouth. Again, brain scans, genetic information, you know, that's what we're going to start seeing more of.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.